Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Obituaries. Victor Jack Carter. Amarillo. Victor Jackson Jack Carter was welcomed into the arms of his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on March 11, 2022, at the age of 93. Born in Brownfield, Texas on June 13, 1928, Jack joined the United States Marine Corps at age 17 in June 1945. Lamed High School. Succeeded in death by his wife, Nell, and his son, Bruce. Parents Wilburn Victor Carter and Vanna E. Carter, two brothers and five sisters. Survivors include a sister, Mary A. Jeffcoat of Orem, Utah, two daughters, Suzanne Carter Masters of Dallas, Texas, and Kay Carter Utzinger and husband Kelly of Amarillo, and four grandchildren, Lisa Armstrong and her husband Travis of Odessa, Texas, Monty Masters and his wife Julie of Dallas, Texas, Amy Utzinger Tyson Wilson of Fritch, Texas, and six great-grandchildren, and wife Darcy of Abilene, Texas, Bailey McCann and husband Hayden of Dallas, Texas, Abby Brett and Chad Masters of Dallas, Addison Wilson of Fritch, Texas. Beck would have wanted contributions to be made to Eastern European Missions, one of his favorite charities that, among other ministries, provides Bibles and aid to the people of Ukraine. This is 777 Lonesome Dove Trail, Hearst, Texas, 76054. Services will be held at 2 o'clock p.m. on Monday, March 21st, 2022, at Westside Church of Christ, 201 Northwest 23rd Street, Seminole, Texas, 79360, with interment to follow at the Gaines County Cemetery.
This is Jane reading for the Odessa American from Saturday, March 12th. Pink the Basin announces 2022 benefit luncheon. The 2022 Pink the Basin benefit luncheon will take place April 12th at Midland Horseshoe Pavilion. Doors will open at 11 a.m. Guest speaker is Leanne Morgan. Her style of comedy combines her southern charm and hilarious story telling about her own life into an act that keeps them coming back for more, a press release detailed. As a stay-at-home mother of three with a husband, people are always accusing her of spying on them because she seems to be living the same life that they do. Luncheon will start with a style show featuring clothing from Julian Gold. They will be modeled by breast cancer survivors from the Permian Basin. Lunch will be provided by Market Street, along with a raffle of one of three jewelry items donated by Sam L. Majors, Kendra Scott, and McKinney Outfitters. Sponsorship levels are available on the website pinkthebasin.com or call 432-940-7465 or email ckeith@pinkthebasin.com. Pink the Basin Incorporated will celebrate their 10th anniversary this year. Pink the Basin started in 2012 and since then has granted over $2.5 million to assist with mammography service for Permian Basin women.
Good morning, friends. This is Julie reading from the Odessa American, Sunday, March 13, 2022. All Girls Robotic Team Makes a Mark by Ruth Campbell. Andrews. For anyone who thought girls weren't good at STEM, there's a group of Andrews Middle School young women who would like to have a word with them. The squad, dubbed the Rapture Raptures, includes members Georgia Morgan, a 13-year-old 8th grader, Tess Asman, a 13-year-old 7th grader, Ava Wingar, a 14-year-old 8th grader, and Haley Killingsworth, a 13-year-old 8th grader. They competed in the first Tech Robotics South Lead Championship at University of Texas Permian Basin in February. The contest was called Freight Frenzy, and while the team didn't make the top sport, they came in 15th. They made an impression. Teacher Gary Kip Smith said they're all four girls on the team. 24 students participated in the competition, but there are about 100 in the program. This is Smith's third year teaching in Andrews. He was previously at Wilson & Young Medal of Honor Middle School for 2 years. The chance to get in the ground floor of a robotic program drew Smith to Andrews. He said robotics didn't exist at Andrews Middle School before he arrived, but there is a program at Andrews High School. Now that students know him and they've heard about the robotics program, Smith said they're more interested in it. A showcase is planned for March 28th, and younger students will get a glimpse of what they could be doing. They'll be able to see all the robotics that are built, because my whole thing has always been wanting to get more girls to take it. This year, I think I've had the highest number of girls sign up and take it, Smith said. Smith said he wanted more girls involved because they're better at it. Smith said girls listen better. The Rapture Raptors absorbed information on how the competition worked. If a team helped them, they wrote thank you letters. And for the last competition, Morgan and Killingsworth baked many cookies to distribute to other teams. All of that matters in the bigger scheme of things, like team culture, Smith said. They got second place in the Motivation Award. The robotics competitions are competitive, but cooperative at the same time, Smith said. It's like a weird dynamic. They call it gracious professionalism, but it's like the weird dynamics of seeing a bunch of kids trying to compete against each other and win while simultaneously not talking trash to each other, Smith said. Morgan said she joined the team because she's always been interested in building. It's always been one of my passions. I'm a really big fan of engineering. I just had to call to do it, Morgan said. Killingsworth said she wanted to get into robotics because it seemed like a fun class. And I kind of wanted to code because I knew that it was something that robotics, Killingsworth said. Wingar said she wanted to work with her team building. I didn't really work well with the team up until now, and I didn't want to take athletics, Wingar said. She also learned to code even though she didn't want to, but ended up finding it really fun. Azam said she wanted to learn something. Smith is one of the best attributes. It's her work ethic, and she has no problem doing whatever it takes to be done. We learned coding last year in exploratory technology, and I thought it was kind of fun. So I joined robotics and then found that there was building, which Azam said was she enjoyed. Wingar added that communication is key, and they had to work on it because Azam is in a different period than they are. They used Google Docs to communicate, but they said Azam would come in on her own without nudging. Morgan said they struggled to get along with others, but the team has helped. It's helped us work over issues, through just everything. It's really helped us to learn to work together as people, because I personally am not one to always ask for help. And so I've learned that it's okay to ask for help, and it's okay to be on a team that's helpful, she added. All but Wingar said they would continue in robotics. It's basic building skills, so it gives you that, and then it would come to get you coding. You can learn block coding, Wingar said, and then, like Georgia said, it helps build social interactions. Killingsworth said she was learned to communicate with people through the competition because you have to interview other teams sometimes to get information before the round starts.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, March 14th. St. John's students take hands-on approach to art. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. From street art to Leonardo da Vinci and Van Gogh, students at St. John's Episcopal School are learning about a wide variety of genres and replicating some of them through art in action. Art teacher Tama Krosky instructs every grade from kindergarten through 8th grade at St. John's. She also teaches 3-year-olds in the morning. On a recent Wednesday, the class was taking a break from art in action, writing their names in the form of street art. Several students had been asking the difference between street art and graffiti and what's legal and what's not, Krosky said. Quote, I knew some about it, but I didn't know a lot. I did a lot of research on it. We pulled out Melbourne, Australia, and in Melbourne, Australia, they actually have what they call Graffiti Alley. They've got 5 blocks that's totally legal to do their spray paint art in that area, Krosky said. Last year, the middle school students learned about the late Joy of Painting host Bob Ross after asking Krosky about it for a long time. Even though it wasn't part of their curriculum, they learned about the late Joy of Painting artist and did an oil painting. In addition, Krosky teaches art in action, which introduces students to Fauvism, Abstract, and the Masters, and more. Quote, "We learn about an artist, and then we study one of their pieces in depth, and then we look at several other pieces that they have studied. And then we either try to copy that piece and draw it, or we draw something in the style of it," Kroski said. When the kindergarten students were studying Van Gogh, they created his sunflower piece in chalk, Kroski said. They studied the artist George Bellows, drew the different figure and poses, and acted it out. Quote, "We learned about him and learned that he actually was recruited to be a pro baseball player, but he loved art so much that he chose to go into art. His love was actually drawing boxing," Kroski said. She added that Bellows often drew himself into his work. This is the fifth year for Art in Action and Kroski's 11th year at St. John's, but she taught in public school previously for many years. The students have also learned how to make wire sculptures and arrange them in scenes where the mini sculptures are dancers or basketball players. Grant Kutcher, a 9-year-old fourth grader, said he thinks learning about street art has been very fun. Quote, "I like this class a lot," Kutcher said. Of the artists he has learned about so far, he likes Salvador Dali the best. Head of school, Heather Kirk, said the artwork is hung in the hall, and then the students get to take it home. Vianney Lujan, age 9, said she likes the street art. Quote, "I think it's really beautiful. I like it. I like how it's designed, how all the artists make it. It's beautiful," Lujan said. Kroski said street art goes back to caveman days, and there is a difference between it and vandalism. She said they have discussed asking for permission to paint something before going ahead. Asked about the street art, 9-year-old Braxton Brown said from what he had learned so far, quote, "Some of it can be vandalism, and some of it can be realistic art that people have, so it's not vandalism or a type of crime," end quote. Brown says he likes more realistic art as opposed to cubism. 9-year-old Easton Gonzalez, who turns 10 today, said he's really enjoying the street art they are learning about and doing right now because they have different shapes. Gonzalez also has wide-ranging taste in artists. Quote, "I like mostly all artists, mostly because they're better than me," he said. Kroski said Gonzalez likes to explore different styles and likes to draw. Kroski said Art in Action began 5 years ago after former head of school Emily McDonald asked if she would be willing to start it. 3 8th graders, Britton Morrow, Ethan Urias, and Carson Neville, all 14, are working on painting furniture to be auctioned off as part of an upcoming St. John's fundraiser, the Blue and Red Bash. Morrow said the class has allowed him to get more in-depth on well-known artists. Neville said he liked learning about the Mona Lisa and why Da Vinci created it. Urias said he liked learning about pop art and how dots were used to show color. Morrow said he liked the abstract painting they're doing for the furniture right now.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Amlodipine the cause of cramps? Dr. Roach writes, "A recent column on muscle cramps generated an unexpected amount of mail. Many readers also identified amlodipine as the cause for their muscle cramps, since their cramps stopped when their medication was changed from amlodipine to something else. The original reader wrote back to say that changing the dose to half in the morning and half at night stopped the cramps. This is a bit surprising to me, since amlodipine is a very long-lasting drug, but I am noting it because this solution may help other readers without having to change medication. A physician wrote in also to ask me to write about amlodipine causing reflux, heartburn, symptoms. They noted that many physicians are unaware of this issue. It is quite true that calcium blockers such as nifedipine and amlodipine can cause or worsen heartburn. the lower esophageal sphincter, which acts as a muscular valve to prevent acid from going into the esophagus, is weakened by calcium blockers. Nicotine and alcohol also weaken the sphincter and can cause some other medications, including some used for bladder spasm, like diazepam, depression, antidepressants like amitriptyline, and pain, opioids like hydrocodone. It's much better to change medications, getting rid of the underlying cause, than it is to use additional medications to treat the side effects of the original medication. I thank Dr. E.B. for writing.
Young man's eating habits are more trough than table. Dear Abby, my stepson Ryan is an active senior in high school. He's a great kid and I love him. I'm proud and delighted that he says he loves my home-cooked meals, which he doesn't get at his mother's house. They eat a lot of takeout or pre-made foods. Not everyone likes to cook, so I don't judge. My concern is Ryan eats his food at an alarming speed, especially if it's something soft, like lasagna or casseroles. His plate is nearly finished before anyone else has more than a couple of bites. I don't want to shame or embarrass him, but it seems unhealthy for his digestion and possibly even dangerous with certain foods. It's also very unpleasant to watch. Last night, Ryan inhaled an entire enchilada in two or three bites, swallowed whole. He didn't chew once. My husband will gently tell Ryan to slow down if I give him a well-timed look. Otherwise, he seems unfazed by it. Ryan frequently eats most of a serving dish of something if we don't point out that others might want seconds too. I hesitate to make a big deal out of it because he's a great kid and my husband's a wonderful father outside of not teaching his son good eating habits. Ryan was a chubby little boy but has become tall and lean after a huge growth spurt. I feel bad saying this, but I'm grossed out and worried at the same time. Your guidance is appreciated. Signed, Cooking Stepmom in the West. Dear Stepmom, it is years late, but please have a serious talk with your husband about the fact that his son never learned basic table manners. From your description, he eats like an animal. He seems not only to be eating too much, but also too fast, which is visually unappealing as well as unhealthy. Table manners are important. Not having them could have a negative impact on his social life and even his career in the future. Please point this out to your husband and to Ryan because it's important they both hear it. It may take reinforcement and constant reminding, so be prepared. Dear Abby, my wife's 90th birthday is coming up soon. Our younger daughter is giving her a birthday party at a nice restaurant and inviting only women. When I asked why I wasn't invited, she said the party will be more fun with only ladies. I don't understand or agree with this. I would enjoy visiting with the ladies. What do you think about her decision? I think it stinks. Signed, Not Invited in Texas. Dear Not Invited, I think this decision should have been made by your wife as well as your daughter. At your ages, there's no guarantee how many more birthdays you will have together, and for you to be summarily excluded seems wrong to me. If this is a ladies' luncheon, it's possible the girls will enjoy celebrating without their husbands, if they are lucky enough to still have husbands. Because this milestone birthday is one you would like to celebrate with your wife, why not take her out for a special dinner, just the two of you, or include your children, grandchildren, great-grandkids, etc., and make it a family affair.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.